Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Here is Dr. Kevin Most, who is the chief medical officer at Northwestern. Are you ready to try to calm people down with this coronavirus stuff, Doc?
I hope so, Bob. I hope we just kind of take a step back, take a deep breath, and relax a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, I was looking at the numbers, and am I correct in saying that for most of us, even if we get it, we would end up with minimal or minor symptoms?
Exactly. You know, even the number that they're touting right now, which is 80% of people will have minimal symptoms, that's not even knowing, you know, for any kind of percentage, you have to know the numerator and the denominator. We don't even know the true denominator. This could be closer to 90, 95, 97% of people will have minor symptoms, just like we see with the four common coronaviruses that we're seeing now.
We just got a text from someone, a teacher, who said, normally when I wake up with a cold or a sore throat or a runny nose, I go to work. Should I refrain from going to work now?
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting and great question that we're seeing a lot of people asking right now. And it's interesting that they're asking it this year and they haven't asked it in years prior, right? Mm-hmm. So someone with true influenza, you know, with high fevers and body aches, do we want them to go to work and spread the disease? Probably not. I don't want to work around somebody who is ill, especially if I'm in close contact with them. If someone has a common cold and we say, hey, you know what, as long as you're not feeling too bad and as long as you use protection yourself, washing your hands, not trying to spread it, I'm saying, boy, if it's a common cold where you really don't have a fever and you just have a little runny nose and a slight cough, boy, those are the ones that we should still be treating the same way we normally would, but just know where you work and is it an environment where you're not going to be spreading it. But I wouldn't tell everybody with a cold to stay home at this time.
When should someone get tested for the coronavirus?
Yeah, that's the other interesting point. You know, we're all talking about, wait, why do we not have all these millions of tests available? And I just kind of even asked myself, you know, if I had a little bit of a cold, would I want to get tested? And the reason that people should be getting tested is if they are going to be put into a situation where they could expose someone who we would be concerned about. In other words, if you're a young family with three young kids and you have a cold running through your house, should you be tested? You know, only if you're going to go visiting grandma and grandpa or someone that's immunocompromised, you know, because that's the concern of the group that we're concerned about, is that's the individual that we want to protect this disease from, yet it's still going to be running through the community quite rampantly, I would think, soon.
Spring vacation time is here, and people are canceling a lot of trips. Doc, would you feel comfortable flying with your family right now?
Yeah, Bob, you know what? I fly every month. I have plans tripped for the next 6 months. Every month I fly to North Carolina. I will continue to do that. I will make sure that I take protective measures as far as getting on the plane. But I wouldn't go on a cruise right now, to be honest with you. You know, if you look what's happened with cruise ships, and not only with coronavirus, if you look at what's happened with cruise ships with the norovirus, you're in this contained environment where you really can't escape, and it kind of spreads quickly through that environment. But as far as myself and would I travel at this time, absolutely, and depends on where you're going and how you're going to define family. Family for spring break should not include grandma and grandpa this year. You know, this should be a year that if you're going to go on a vacation, let's make sure that we allow the people that, if they do get this disease, are going to have mild symptoms and are going to be able to get over it. And then just do all the smart things that we should be doing anytime during cold and flu season if you're going to travel on an airplane. Clean the environment as much as you can around you. If you have the opportunity to pick a seat, pick a window seat, pick an aisle seat, minimize the number of possible exposures around you. So cleaning down the environment, you know, people don't even think, you know, oh, I'm going to clean the tray table, I'm going to clean the armrest, but then they don't clean the buckle. Then they don't clean the thing in the seat back in front of them. Then they don't even think about when they get up to go to the bathroom about cleaning the handle, you know. So we have to be super vigilant right now if we're all going to be concerned about this. And again, I'm saying we should be concerned about protecting ourselves from influenza right now.
And as far as grandma and grandpa, you mentioned, if an older person does not have any kind of serious pre-existing condition, if they're relatively healthy, would you still caution them about certain travel?
I would. You know, right now, as we age, our immune system drops, doesn't work as well. That's why individuals with influenza, it's much more serious. With any illness, it's much more serious. We don't know enough about this disease. We can look at the number of fatalities and look at them and say, wow, okay, almost everybody here is, you know, older in age with comorbidities, whether it be diabetes or heart disease. But we still don't know enough about it right now. So I would be hesitant, knowing that that's the vulnerable population, to put anybody in exposure risk there.
Continuing our conversation with Northwestern's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Kevin Most. And Doc, let's talk a little bit about our immune system, the body's natural defense mechanisms to fight disease, and what we can do to boost it. Right now would be a good time.
Absolutely. You know, I think this is one of the, like you're saying, let's try to slow down the hysteria a little bit. And I say, well, let's also try to make sure that we take some personal ownership of what we can do for ourselves as well as what we can do for others. And if we do the right things, we can boost not only our immune system, but the immune system of those around us in our families. But, you know, something as simple as getting enough sleep. You know, no one, I shouldn't say no one, but the vast majority of our individuals that live in this country do not get enough sleep. If I asked you, did you get 8 hours of sleep last night, you're probably going to laugh. You know?
8 hours for the week, maybe.
Exactly. But we know that sleep is so important for our immune system. So this is an opportunity to at least get enough sleep. We talk about washing hands, and everyone's like, oh, gosh, I went to Target, and they ran out of the 80% alcohol gel. What am I going to do? Soap and water is great, you guys, and it's not anything special. It's how long you wash your hands. Most people wash their hands for 5 seconds. Wash your hands for 20 to 30 seconds with soap and water, and it's as good as the hand gels that you're seeing that you can't find right now.
What about foods we should be eating or supplements? What can we do in that department to help our immune systems?
Absolutely. And if you look at the diets of many of us right now, they're not that great. You know, we're doing fast foods. We're doing things that probably aren't good for us. But if you want to look at what do you need for your immune system, taking a multivitamin is certainly helpful, but let's make sure we try to get some of this in our food as well. So citrus foods, you know, Linus Pauling was a big advocate of vitamin C. And a lot of people, when they get ill, they say, oh, you know what, I'm not feeling really well, I'm going to take vitamin C. Well, it would be nice if you took vitamin C beforehand, because we know that that's part of the vitamin structure that we need to build our immune system. Vitamin C is a vitamin that we don't store. Vitamins D, E, A, and K we store in our fat. The other vitamins we don't store, so you need those on a daily basis. So whether you're taking citrus fruits, and if you don't like citrus, then red bell peppers are extremely high in vitamin C. But then you're also getting the fiber benefit for colon cancer, so things along those lines as well.
And what's happening with the vaccine? That's probably still a year away at best, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, President Trump misspoke a couple of times, you know, and said, oh, we're very close to having a vaccine. We should have a vaccine shortly. We have to understand a couple things about the vaccine. One is not only the production of it, but you at least have to test it to make sure that it works. We don't want to roll out this huge number of vaccine and then find out that it really adds no value. So one is going to be the time to test it as well as the production of it. How are we going to produce this? Where are we going to produce it? And where are we going to produce it so that it doesn't impact the number of influenza vaccinations that we have for next year, because we know how many we need to protect the rest of the world for an illness that causes a lot more deaths currently than what coronavirus is doing right now.
What's the best advice about public events, Doc? I mean, there are concerts, there are sporting events. I talked to a friend of ours over the weekend who urged her daughter not to go to a concert right now. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, seven people have tested positive in Chicago. Are there other people out there? Absolutely. We know that there's some community transmission as well. So a couple things. One, there's a social distancing aspect of it. If you go to a big crowded event, you certainly can't stay 6 feet away from people. But in most public events like that, if someone's coughing anywhere near you, you can get up and move. So at least be aware of your surroundings. But I think it's disappointing when you look at Major League Baseball at spring training telling their players, don't sign autographs for kids because we don't want you that close to them. If you look at the statistics and you try to do the math to figure out what your chance of exposure is, right now it's very low. Will that go up? It certainly will. But should we be canceling the Olympics? Should we be canceling the Final Four and just letting, you know, the players play, you know, in an empty arena? I think that we probably have gone a little bit overboard at that point. And I think it's really take good care of yourself, get your immune system where it can be, know your surroundings, clean your environment as much as you can, and now it's time for us to start to look at how we are going to protect those who are the most vulnerable. Those seniors with comorbidities, individuals who are on cancer treatments, individuals with COPD or diabetes. Let's look on how we're going to protect them and make sure that you take your own personal ownership to do everything you can for yourself, as well as who you're going to expose yourself to.
We're talking with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine. It's almost 6:54. Are most of the experts now agreed that this won't necessarily get better because of warmer weather?
You know, Bob, that's what everyone, I hate to say it, that science right now won't tell us if that's going to happen, but I can tell you there's a lot of people with their fingers crossed right now in hope that this runs similar to what we see with influenza, where we'll see the number of cases drop dramatically. If that were to occur, that's great. It buys you some time. It allows you to get your hands around this a little bit more closely. The unfortunate thing is this community transmission where someone without symptoms can still spread it. We still see influenza all summer long. We just don't see as many cases. We see much lower number of cases. So it's still, the disease would still be out there and still be present. But if we drop those numbers, two things. You keep your fingers crossed and hope it doesn't mutate to a different virus by the next season, but it also buys you some time to make sure that we can care for those who are ill.
Do we know yet if someone who gets the virus will then develop an immunity and will not need a vaccine?
It's a great question. So if you look at the vaccinations and say, well, wait a second, I get the polio vaccine, and I get measles vaccine, but I only get that once. And boy, if I've had a disease, do I have an immune, is my body already made an immune system for it? So do I even need the vaccination? That's one big question. And the other big question I look at is, look at the number of people that get influenza shots in our country. Less than 50%. And yet we know that that's a disease that hospitalizes 280,000 people a year and causes 30,000 deaths. And yet our vaccination rate is under 50% for that known illness. Why do we think everyone who's going to be rushing to get this vaccine, when for 80-85% of the people, all you're going to get is mild symptoms? So we need to make sure that if we do have the vaccine, that we're giving it to the right individuals, which is going to be those seniors as well as those who are immunocompromised.
Let's get in a quick question here from Steve on the line. Good morning. What's your question for Dr. Most, Steve?
Good morning, gentlemen. Mike, I'm a rideshare driver. I drive for one of the companies in Chicago. My concern, doctor, is this. I have a passenger or two directly behind me and sometimes right beside me. I know that's a risk I'm taking, but how big of a risk is it? I do sanitize the vehicle. I wipe everything down after the customers leave. Mm-hmm. But they are within proximity of me in a closed car in the winter, obviously. What do you recommend for the rideshare drivers? There's thousands of us out here. Very concerned.
Good question.
Absolutely, Steve. And I think that you're doing the right things because they are sitting within 3 to 6 feet of you. So if they're coughing and sneezing and hacking, are those viral particles actually being in your car? The 100% they are. But I also want to make sure that you understand, let's make sure that even before coronavirus, I hope you were doing the exact same thing in early December.
Yes,
because
yes,
they can
sir.
Spread that. Yep. And the other thing is for you guys, try not to touch your face. You can't clean your car enough probably if you have people coughing and sneezing right in the front, unless you really wiped it down really well. But try not to touch your face. You wearing a mask is not going to do anything except fear for your passengers. But, I mean, if you do wash your hands, use the gel between rides, clean the car as much as you can, you're doing everything you can to mitigate your exposure.
Thanks, Steve, and thanks, Dr. Most. I'm going to have a salad today, Doc, and there's going to be citrus fruit in there, red bell peppers, garlic, spinach, kiwi, and if I can find a vitamin D capsule, I'll do that, or I'll stick my head in the sun today. How's
you
that?
Got it. You got it, Bob. Those are all the good things.
Thanks. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Take care.